This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Time flies when you're having fun, Daniel. That's what they say, and it was true in 2025, the year now just about done. We've arrived at the final Matt Rooney Show 2026, dead ahead. Let's get into it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to your favorite little show here on 1210 WPHT Weekends, but of course always available via the Matt Rooney Show podcast, Odyssey, iTunes, all the places where quality podcasts can be found. I'm not just saying it. This is the last show of 2025. I'm not pulling your leg. I'm here once again with producer Dan, who decided to show up for the last program of the year, which was mighty nice of you, my friend. Hardly.
It is. Yeah, I'm being held at gunpoint, but that's besides the point.
Well, yes, but that's fine. Bella and you, that's part of your thing. That's how you kids have fun.
Yeah.
It's how you keep spice in the relationship. It has nothing to do with me trying to talk her into that. I just want to be clear in case the authorities are listening.
No, that's how the cool kids party these days.
That's how the cool kids party?
Yep.
But it's not cuffing, though, right? We visited this term on past programs. This is a committed long-term relationship.
Right.
Yes. Excellent.
Cuffing season is upon us, though.
Cuffing season is here. How was your Christmas season?
It was good. But it's over. It was fine.
You ate, I'm sure, a couple thimbles of cranberry sauce and a few grains of rice. What'd you have?
No cranberry sauce. I had some tacos. It's a good time.
So you had
cheese, some fried chicken.
So you had tacos to try to boost your otherwise sagging ratio of Hispanic heritage that we make fun of here regularly on the program.
I mean, they were white people tacos, but yeah.
What makes a taco a white person taco?
Anytime you make tacos at home, it's a white person taco.
What?
Any Mexican, like, authentic taco don't look like that.
I guess I'd have to see a picture.
Yeah. Like an authentic taco is literally just meat and, like parsley or something.
I was just going to say, send me a picture of your tacos, and then I immediately stopped myself.
I can if you want.
No. I'm afraid what's going to happen. I'm not going down that road today. This is the final show of the year. I want to end on a high note, folks. So we got plenty that we have to cover before 2026 arrives here in just a few short days. It was a busy year here on the Matt Rooney program, and of course, I don't think next year is going to slow down at all. We don't have a gubernatorial election in New Jersey, but just about everything else is on the ballot, and there's no sign that any of the craziness is going to abate anytime soon in the world at large. But in the interim, I hope you had an awfully nice Christmas season. I guess it's technically not done until the kids go back to school. They're home right now. In some cases, driving you nuts. But I always kind of equate it to golf. You have 17 really crappy holes, but then you have that one good shot that keeps you coming back. Your kids will be terrors for days on end, all sugared up. They've got the Christmas crazies. They're obsessed with their toys. They're fighting with each other over them. But then you'll have that one cute moment or that one real warm memory. And you say, oh, all right, well, I'm not going to give them up for adoption. So,
do you have those moments?
Daily, yes.
All right. Okay, cool. Yeah. I have this same, but, you know, whatever.
But it's a cat.
With cats, yeah.
With cats.
Yeah.
Did you feel for the plight of the cat lady that was trying to get home to Oregon for Christmas or wherever the hell it is she was going?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Did you see the cut number 6 that I sent over for today?
I did.
Yeah. It's this young lady, she's not really that young. But she's trying to get home for Christmas, like I'm sure many of you were over the course of the past few days. She actually looks like a slightly younger Marjorie Taylor Greene. You can't see the video. It's the limitation of the medium. But you're going to hear some of it. And needless to say, she's a little peeved because the airline would not let her fly with her cats. And she wigged out on some Alaska Airlines employees. Listen to this.
You're asinine right now that this bag is flight compatible. It goes on the plane. It fits on the plane. That's why I bought this bag specifically so that I could fly home for Christmas. And you're now telling me I'm not going home for Christmas because you don't like that I have two cats.
I'm telling you that you need to listen to what I'm saying. The yelling's not going to help you.
I'm not yelling.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
You're telling me I can't go home for Christmas right now. Do you understand that?
I'm here with you.
Do you understand
that you're not listening? You can do whatever you choose. What I'm letting you know is that there is a policy around your pets that don't have enough
room. My pets are completely fine. I've done this many years with them.
You don't get to go
against your company doesn't decide if my cats are comfortable or not.
If there's a policy that said the cat needs to have full range of motion and they don't because they're two bigger cats. If they were two baby cats, they would be able to move around. They can't.
They don't need to move around. I need to go to another carrier. I don't need to go to sleep on the planes. I go home for Christmas.
If you had another carrier, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
But two carriers doesn't fit on the seat, though. How is that possible?
You would have to pay for the two pets separately. You haven't even gotten to that point because you've been screaming and yelling the entire time.
Where would the two cats go is my question.
In another carrier.
Where would the other carrier go?
Under another.
They're already calling her the two cat Karen, Daniel. All over the socials.
Two cat Karen.
The two cat Karen. Who, according to the New York Post, she was trying to fly on Alaska Airlines from Las Vegas back to Oregon, specifically Portland. I'm shocked she lives in Portland, Oregon, by the way. Could have never guessed that. Not in a million years. She was trying to get home for the Christmas holiday. And she raged because, as you heard a minute ago, I guess she didn't have sufficient carrier space for both of these little kitties. So as of, I guess, yesterday, Dan, her video had racked up no less than 222 million likes on TikTok. 220 million.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, eventually she bought a second carrier and made it on a later flight. In case anyone was worried, the two cat Karen did not get back to Portlandia.
Yeah, I see her now. I'm seeing what the issue is. Yeah, she's first mistake is going on Alaskan Air.
What's your problem with Alaskan Air?
I don't know. Are you going to Alaska? Or are you coming home from Alaska?
I don't know. I mean, she wasn't. She was going from Vegas to Oregon.
So why are you on Air Alaska?
I don't know. I guess maybe they're more prolific in that part of the country.
Okay.
Can't speak to that.
I didn't know that you could take Air Alaska or whatever it's called to any other state besides Alaska.
Apparently that's the case. But then Two Cat Karen went over to Facebook and she raged further, despite ultimately finding a different way home. They made me leave the airport, buy a second carrier, a second seat to put the second cat under on a whole new flight 3 hours later. F Alaska Airlines, their policies, and lack of customer service. I hope you all get coal for Christmas. She's a little bitter, Daniel.
There's literally nothing that has to do with the Alaskan Airlines. Like, it has nothing to do with Alaska.
Are you sympathetic as a fellow kitty owner?
No. Don't take it. I mean, no.
I mean, it seems to me that if you're traveling with an animal, you should do a little bit more research before arriving at the airport.
If you're traveling with like a dog, it has to fit underneath of the seat in front of you. At least that's with American, I believe. But if you're traveling with any kind of a dog or whatever, the carrier has to fit underneath the seat in front of you.
Yes.
And I guess you can't have more than one.
He knows that because Bella has flown with Dan under the seat in front of her.
Yes. Yep. Got that right.
Like Dobby the house elf.
Dobby. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't heard the British accent in a while.
Oh, Dobby.
She might have gotten better results if she had a British accent.
Probably.
Her West Coast Karen accent just really doesn't win over anyone, does it?
I mean, it's also...
I'm serious right now. You're ruining Christmas.
This is this year's version of the girl who saw, like, the alien on the plane or, like, the weird creature.
That man is just not real.
Remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do remember the one you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. So all's well that ends well, I guess, for Toucat Karen, except she ultimately had to buy another flight and an extra seat. So she did get a little bit of proverbial coal in her stocking this year. I'm hoping sincerely that all of you had an easier travel experience, assuming you went somewhere. I did not. I stayed home. I spent most of my Christmas assembling a Barbie dream house, which is larger than my daughter. It is pretty sweet, though. It's got a slide that goes from a rooftop garden with a palm tree, down three stories into a swimming pool. Also, of course, has a kitchen. Yeah. But only one bathroom, which for a house full of women doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. It would seem that a Barbie dream house should come equipped with at least a few bathrooms.
You would think.
Right?
Yeah. I also got a Barbie dream house that I've been assembling.
Did you?
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed playing with it?
I haven't really played with it yet, but it's here.
It's there. Okay. Well, did Bella get that for you or Santa Claus?
Santa Claus did.
No, very good.
Bella just got me a cat carrier.
Oh, that's excellent. Well,
a bigger one.
Can't have too many of them, as we just learned.
Right, right.
Now, my son, his big gift was the Nintendo Switch 2.
Oh.
Which, I think I've talked about this before in the program. I played my nephew's video game console recently. I forget which one that was. Mm-hmm. And the refresh rate is so crazy that I get nauseous playing it too long.
Do you know what refresh rate is?
Yes.
Okay.
So what's your point?
I was just asking if you knew what that was or if you heard it somewhere and you're like, wow, you know?
Oh, you're just impressed with my use of technical jargon.
Yeah, I didn't think you knew that much about screens.
Yes. Well, I spent a lot of my life staring at them, even though I'm not a gamer.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, yeah, I get that it's supposed to reduce eye strain, but when your eye is not accustomed to it, it just, I don't know, it doesn't feel good. I guess maybe if I did it long enough, I would get accustomed to it, but that's unlikely to happen. But he's rocking that thing. She's in her Barbie dream house. All is right with the world. Did Bella like her gift, Daniel?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very happy for it. Did you give her a Labubu?
I did not get her a Labubu.
Are you familiar with what a Labubu is?
I know exactly what a Labubu is.
Yeah, my kids got Labubus.
Oh.
And okay. And they're creepy as all hell. Mm-hmm. I don't like them. Apparently they're based on Scandinavian demons or something like that. Forest spirits.
I didn't know about all that. I just know they're like a collectible clout thing.
Yeah, so some people are freaking out. Let me try that again. Suggesting maybe there's something demonic about them. I don't know about all that, but they're not cute.
I just think they're just collectibles.
Yeah, but what the hell is the point?
I don't know, man. What is the point of anything?
Well, that's awfully nihilistic.
What's the point of all these trends?
I mean, I guess it's true, right? It's like the new version of the Norfin troll.
Yeah.
Right, but it's always some creepy ass creature from Northern Europe. Why is that?
Like Furbies? What's the point of a Furby?
It's even less attainable to understand exactly. That. Yeah, so I guess that's the way to look at it. It's just this generation's Norfin troll. But Norfin trolls, I thought, were cute in kind of a goony way. For anybody that hasn't seen one of these Labubus, they've got big teeth, and they've got a mischievous grin. It kind of reminds me of Gremlins, if everyone remembers that classic movie. I think it came out back in, what, like 84, where they feed Gizmo, the cute little guy, and then he, I guess, gives birth to a bunch of little gremlins that cause a lot of mischief in and around the hometown of the main character. Yeah. Creepy stuff.
Love that. I love having a gremlin give birth.
Well, you are a horror guy.
Yeah, I've never seen Gremlins, though.
You've never seen Gremlins?
Mm-mm. No.
How the hell is that possible?
I've never seen Gremlins. I don't know what to tell you.
That strikes me as odd for a guy that loves that genre.
it's not one of those horror movies that like strikes me the way that I need to see it, you know?
Yeah, but again, you like horror movies. Aren't you supposed to see them all?
I'm supposed to see them all, yeah, but I didn't.
Okay. All right. Well, there's your homework for the new year, young man.
Okay. Yeah, I'll spark notes it and get back to you.
Okay. Yeah, they form little cocoons. Okay.
Yeah.
And some of them have little mohawks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the original one was named Mogwai or something like that, which is Chinese for devil.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's look up the names of the gremlins. Gizmo.
Yeah, he's the
original Mogwai.
He's the named one, yes.
And you have Stripe, Mohawk.
Stripe's a scary dude.
Stripe's the leader, supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah, look
and
at him.
And you have Mohawk, which is the sinister successor.
Yeah, Stripe has a very Producer Dan-esque build.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you want to... Are you comparing me to a gremlin right now?
Kind of. You have smaller ears.
That's fair.
More hair.
That's fair.
But otherwise gremlin-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. So, yeah, bottom line is don't buy a Labubu unless you have to. Because I hate walking around the house and seeing those damn things. They freak me out in a way that Norfin Trolls never did. Meanwhile, Dan will have to do a book report on gremlins by the time we have our first show in 2026. See how much we can accomplish in a short amount of time here in the program? I know. It's awfully impressive. Remember, this is the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT, but you can get the podcast at any time, not just on Saturday nights when we air 7 and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. For now, we're going to take a quick break to play some ads and make some moolah, but we'll be back in just a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand.
Well, we got some good early news heading into the Christmas holiday. You might have missed it when you were busy wrapping and preparing the eggnog and doing all the other things that you got to do to get ready for the fat man to slide down the chimney. But the United States' GDP, gross national product, rose by a pretty stunning amount over the course of the prior quarter, okay? 4.3% specifically. That's for the third quarter of 2025. Significantly better than other nations around the world. By contrast, so you have a point of reference here, the European Union, the EU, only saw 0.4% growth. Japan actually fell by a little more than half a point. The U.S. economy surged by more than 4%. Now, this is significant for a few reasons, right? Because we're now at the end of Donald Trump's first year in office following his return to power after his historic victory in November in 2024. And there's been a lot of doom talking and attempts to spike the ball, okay, on the left side of the aisle, because they're convincing themselves and trying to convince Americans that the president's tariffs have tied an anchor around the leg of the American economy. But not so, according to these latest numbers. It's significant. It's highly significant. Now, of course, does that mean that everything is better and all economic problems are solved and everybody's wealthy? No, of course not, right? It doesn't work that way. We need some time, right, for growth to continue and to impact wages. And eventually, things are not going to get less expensive in most instances. But as the rate of inflation slows and the economy grows, your buying power will increase and the world will feel less expensive than it did during the Biden years. It's simple economics. And it appears in the early going here, 1 year in, the president's policies are working. Now, they're going to continue to try to talk it down. We know that, right? Because as I said a moment ago, they were celebrating because they thought we were heading into an inescapable recession. Now that appears very much not a matter of fate. And so the major newspapers and other lefty outlets are trying to pivot to downplaying the importance of these latest GDP figures. There was an LA Times editorial out. The name of the columnist is Michael Hiltzik. And his argument is that, you know, it's just too soon to say whether or not these latest GDP figures and the government data showing inflation slowing dramatically are any good. He uses a stronger word, the W word, worthless. He says the federal government's monthly release of economic statistics, especially the inflation rate and growth as tracked by gross domestic product, have long occasioned partisan preening or denunciation and for a general public stocktaking of the healthy economy. Not this month, this time they're the occasion for doubt and confusion. It's absolutely incredible, folks. You know as well as I do, right, that if the GDP had grown under a Democrat president like it has just surged ahead under a Republican president, there would be ticker tape parades all across the fruited plain, at least in the bluer places on the map. But because it was Donald Trump that achieved this feat, right, they're never going to acknowledge it as a success. They're going to try to poke holes in it. They're going to try to make you doubt what these new GDP numbers say, or portend is probably the better way to put it, about where our economy could go in 2026. But we're not going to fall for it as per usual. We're smarter than all that. House Speaker Mike Johnson, who has the most to gain if the economy indeed begins surging ahead here, said America is winning again. And he credited the congressional Republicans and President Trump for delivering policies that drive growth and expand opportunity for American families and workers. Now, what's significant is, right, excuse me, we see the GDP moving ahead. I mistakenly said the GNP before, by the way, folks. So before anybody calls me out on it, the gross national product is different than the gross domestic product. Dan knows that. Jan, I think you wrote your honors thesis on that, Dan, if memory serves.
Yes, I did. Yes.
It's a little bit of a cumbersome read, folks, but if you ever have a few days to get through 1,500 pages, I highly recommend it. The gross domestic product, okay, is all the goods and services that get produced within a country's borders, okay? GNP, the gross national product, is a measure of output wherever you're located. So, you know, obviously there's some products that are produced outside of our borders, for instance, right? So it's a little bit of a different measure. But in any event, it's all good news, and there's plenty of reason to be optimistic and to think that things will continue to improve in 2026. And back to what I was saying about Speaker Johnson a moment ago, let's see what happens when people get their tax returns. They are predicting record tax returns for many of Americans due to the tax changes that took effect as part of the Big Beautiful Bill, which was enacted earlier in 2025. If inflation continues to trend downwards and the GDP continues to grow at a healthy rate, and people get fat refunds or simply end up having to pay less, come April, you might see the president's approval ratings head in a northward direction, which will obviously have a direct impact on the midterm elections, which, you know, Democrats are just assuming is going to be a disaster for the Republican Party. You can ask Joe Biden all about that in 2022, right? It ain't over till it's over. We are several media lifetimes away from that day when every member of Congress has judgment passed upon them, right? And we decide who's going to control the House and the Senate for the next 2 years. We're just not there yet. A lot of baseball needs to play out. So I get it. It's tempting. I mean, you're listening to a guy who has a political website and talks on the radio. sometimes for hours at a time during the course of a week. It's you want to prognosticate. You want to prognosticate. You want to guess. You want to try your hand at the crystal ball. It's just too early. It's too early to make assumptions about how the midterm elections are going to land. You also can't discount that there are going to be some points of contrast in the new year, specifically how Washington, D.C. is being run compared to some places where heroes of the left will have then been empowered. New York City is a notable example where Zohran Mamdani is mere days away from taking the reins as mayor of New York City. And he is so far in his selections for his leadership team doing exactly what you'd expect them to do, completely ignoring qualifications and merit in favor of checking D&I, or I should say DEI boxes. Did you see this new FDNY, the Fire Department of New York City appointment that he just made? He held a press conference and everything. I want to play this for you. This is cut number two. Hat tip to libs of TikTok. They found this video, some local news coverage of the appointment of what is being described as a trailblazer to lead New York City's fire department. But let's see if you pick up on what I did.
Lillian Bonsignor is a career first responder. In just 9 days, she'll be running the world's busiest fire department, one of the most important appointments of the incoming administration.
And they deserve a leader who cares about their work because she did it herself, who understands every detail and who will fight tirelessly to empower FDNY and make it the best firefighting force in the world.
Lillian Bonsignor began her career as an EMT in 1991 and was ultimately promoted to chief of the city's EMS division, where she served for 3 years before retiring in 2022. Although she never served as a firefighter, she's confident that won't matter.
I know the job. I know what the firefighters need, and I can translate that to this administration who's willing to listen. I know what EMS needs. I have been EMS for 30-plus years.
Bonsignor is a trailblazer for the LGBTQ community, who will serve as the FDNY's first openly gay commissioner. She's a highly respected, detail-oriented manager whose style has been compared to NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch, who will remain in her post in the new administration.
The new head of the fire department in New York City has never served as a firefighter. I repeat, the largest fire department in the world is now headed by someone who has never fought a single fire. How could this possibly end badly, Daniel? Can't imagine. It's staggering how many fires New York City has during the course of a year. I mean, you wouldn't think of there being a lot of opportunities for brush fires, but in 2024, during just the period of 2 days before Halloween to right before Thanksgiving, there were over 200 brush fires reported in the city. So that doesn't speak to house fires and any of the other things that happen in New York City during the course of any given calendar year. There's inspections, obviously. Hey, listen, ask some people that live out in the Pacific Palisades on the opposite coast how important it is to have fire commissioners and fire officials that know the job. So, yeah, I mean, look, I've said this before and I'll say it again. We joke about it. Because if you don't laugh, you'll cry. I clearly don't want anybody in New York City to suffer. I mean, as a New Jerseyan, the health of New York City directly impacts the economy of my home state beyond the obvious human considerations. I don't want humans to suffer, even when they might deserve it from the perspective of them having made really crappy decisions come election time. But you could see that this is going to blow up in New York City's face a million miles away, and they just don't care because these leftist voters vote their values. They don't vote logic. They don't vote common sense. They don't look at the qualifications. They didn't matter in 2025. They just voted for whoever aligned most closely with leftism. whoever was the most opposite of the orange man. In this case, a young Muslim socialist with absolutely no qualifications for high office. So surprise, surprise, he's picking people and surrounding himself with folks who match his own profile. But isn't it great when your house burns to the ground because the head of New York City's fire department didn't know what they were doing, but you'll be comforted, Daniel, in knowing that at least they were gay.
Love
what,
that.
What a consolation.
Yeah.
Well, my house burned down, but at least our city leadership, incompetent as it might be, was diverse.
Yeah, I need someone to help me fight a fire, but also the person who's going to help me fight a fire has no idea how to fight a fire. But have I mentioned that they're gay?
Apparently, it's all that matters. At least the voters that live in places like New York City. And of course, it isn't just New York, right? I mean, you see this in Philadelphia. You see it in my home state of Jersey, where we just elected someone who clearly was the less qualified of the options, right? Mikey Sherrill was clearly not better suited to be governor of New Jersey than her Republican opponent, but she was the anti-Trump candidate. She's the one that checked the boxes. She was a strong, beautiful, independent woman, right? Which apparently matters more to many of you than whether or not someone's actually going to do a good job, whether they're going to have loyalty or exhibit loyalty to the Constitution, whether or not they're actually going to work to make us more peaceful and prosperous in our communities and beyond. So, yeah, this is another one of those unknowns heading into the midterms. If the economy is cranking at the national level, but we get more of this craziness out of New York City, that's something that could be brought to voters' attention. And socialism, which had a pretty good time in November 2025 in most jurisdictions across the country that had elections, it might not look so appealing, even to the young people who understandably are frustrated with the status quo and want something better. So they went in the opposite direction in places like New York City and sadly will pay for it. Your house burning to the ground because the person that runs the fire department has never fought a fire, it's a more dramatic example, perhaps, but there's a billion different little ways that leftist government continues to evidence a complete lack of competence commensurate at least to the promises that they make the people when they cast their ballots. So all eyes on New York and New Jersey with a only short runway to go until we get to the midterm elections. For now, let's take another break, play some more ads, make some money, because we're certainly not socialists around here. We're capitalists on 1210 WPHD. And we'll be back with more of the Matt Rooney Show in an instant.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHD On Demand.
What was your favorite gift this Christmas, Daniel?
The one that I'm currently wearing.
Ah, I can't see you, so you'll have to describe it.
It is a 1923 Green Bay Packers throwback on-field hoodie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Yeah.
See, for those that are newer to the program, Dan, despite being on a Philadelphia-based station, is not a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's correct.
He's open about it.
That is correct.
He's kind of sort of a Cowboys fan, but he's one of these two teams guys. So his favorite team is the Packers.
Yes.
For whatever reason.
Yep. Am I supposed to explain, or?
Well, I mean, I think to somebody that's newer, it might help for you to explain how a kid from Eastern Pennsylvania grows up being a Cowboys / Packers fan.
Well, Packers, I was a Clay Matthews fan. And Clay Matthews was obviously a linebacker for the Packers, and so I just started watching them because of Clay Matthews. And we happen to have family friends who were Packers fans, so they kind of influenced that. And then Cowboys, well, my mom's a diehard Cowboys fan, so I kind of just grew up like that.
which makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. Your Packers have clinched a playoff berth this year.
They have.
So they're in, yes. They're in the playoffs along with the Eagles. Cowboys are out, though.
Yeah.
Cowgirls will not be going to the big dance this year.
That's okay.
How's Mama Valdez feeling about that?
She knew the season was over, like halfway through.
She had appropriately low expectations.
Yeah. She was fine with it.
She's fine with it. Sometimes when your team sucks, you don't mind when they're knocked out.
Now my mom's rooting for the Packers to get a higher draft pick because Packers then get, or the Cowboys get our draft pick because they gave us Micah Parsons. So she's like, I want them to lose, but at the same time, I want them to win. And I'm like, you can't have both.
Can't have both. No such thing. Well, hopefully next year she has the same bad luck. And you know I'm not saying that because I don't love your mother. I love and revere Mrs. Valdez, but I just don't like her choice in football teams.
That's fine. Not a lot of people do.
Well, at least not in this part of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
When you go to Dallas, they all love it.
When you go to Dallas, does she go to Dallas often?
We've been to Dallas one time to see the Green Bay Dallas game.
I gotcha. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, Dan had a pretty good Christmas because he got a new jersey. Not everyone had an easy going, of course, depending upon who you are. We know Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus put in a lot of work for the big day, preparing all those gifts. And, of course, the mister gets on his sleigh and travels around the world giving presents to all the good little boys and girls. But Santa Claus ran into a little bit of trouble when he and the missus were using a unconventional form of conveyance for Santa Claus, a car, heading through Fulton County, Ohio. That's right, Santa Claus got pulled over by the popo, Daniel. And here's how it went in case you have not seen this. This is cut number 3.
Santa!
CCW,
I'm
not gonna
move until you can say it again.
Santa has a CCW?
Yes, sir, you have to.
Times are rough.
You gotta protect me.
What's the last name? Yeah, so, you know why I'm stopping you?
I was looking down, I didn't even check.
Okay, yeah. I had speed limit is 55.
Yep.
There's a lot of deer out here, a lot of people that are pulled right out in front of you, so your reaction time is not as good as 55, correct? Santa, do you have your driver's license out?
Can I get out?
You sure can. Where you guys headed?
Right here to Delta. My daughter works with
He's only nice to him because he's white. That's it. That's the only reason why. You know what I mean?
You know why I'm muted? Because I nearly jumped through the microphone at you. I know that you're the Latinx expert / correspondent here on the program, but why does everything have to be about race for you?
DEI, you know?
Your generation, man. You're ruining everything.
Yep.
Did you like the fact that Santa Claus was concealed carry?
Yeah. I mean, rightfully so. He's going to the, you know, he's going all over the world.
He's got to go to some rough neighborhoods.
Well, I was thinking war zones, but that's cool too.
Well, there are certain cities in the United States that might as well be war zones.
New York City.
Well, it's on the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Chi-Rac.
Where is that?
Chicago.
Oh, I never heard that one before.
Yeah, it's Chi-Rac.
You can be clever when you try.
I can be.
It just depends on whether you want to try.
Yeah, that's correct. That depends if I actually want to do my job or not.
Although, I got to say this. Another example of President Trump delivering murders in the United States were down 20% this year. That's possibly the largest single drop in U.S. history. That's according to the Real-Time Crime Index. There were something like a little less than 6,000 murders in the United States this year between January and October. For that same period, we had almost 7,400 in 2024, the final year of the Biden administration. It's being called a massive drop in crime. And we also saw it in some cities. You mentioned New York a moment ago, 20% decline in NYC. In Chirac, as Daniel calls it, a 28% drop. And it's down nearly 28% in Washington, D.C. Now, that's significant, of course, because President Trump essentially took over Washington, D.C. streets by bringing in the National Guard. Clearly, it had an impact. Even out in Los Angeles County, 19% decrease. Almost 8% in New Orleans. A few people have speculated that, I wonder if this has anything to do with the fact that we've removed so many illegal criminal aliens. Now, I don't know if you can say that's the only reason when you're looking for correlation, but I'll tell you this much, it's got to be part of it because we've removed a lot of bad people that don't belong here. So, once again, just another way in which the Trump administration in its first year of returning to power in the federal government has already had an objectively positive impact on our lives. Ain't that something? Now, of course, whether that continues in places like New York City in 2026 remains to be seen, given some of the crappy choices that are being made. Meanwhile, Democrats are continuing to ramp up their anti-ICE rhetoric, something I want to get to in the second hour of this program, which I will. But before we get to that, Daniel, you've given us a lot of wisdom. You've imparted much of it during the course of 2025. You don't just entertain us and make the show work, Daniel. You also educate us. So I thought before the year ends, we should have one more Dan's Fact of the Week.
Today's theme, because it's cold and it's snowing where I'm at in PA. Today's theme has to do with the snow.
Appropriate.
Yep. The winter cold kills more than twice as many Americans as summer heat does.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to elaborate on that at all?
That's all I got.
All right, well, listen, I can back you up. Would you like me to?
Yes.
I shouldn't really say it's me. I should say it's Google AI, which says cold temperatures are responsible for significantly more global deaths than heat, although heat-related fatalities are rising. Why is that? Apparently, it causes more premature deaths in hot weather. Somewhere along the lines of 9-1, Daniel. It's not from freezing. That's not why most people die in the cold. It's because of prolonged exposure to moderately cold temperatures, which puts increased stress on cardiovascular and respiratory systems. While cold remains dominant, heat-related deaths have surged in recent decades, with some research showing over a 50% increase over the course of the past 20 years. And of course, Google AI tells me that's linked to climate change. Okay, sure thing. Good fact, Dan.
Thanks.
Didn't know that. Now, of course, it's a damn shame that we're all going to be paying more for energy in places like New Jersey this year because of the exceptionally crappy policies of Governor Phil Murphy, King Philip the Unaccountable, as our friend Rich Zeoli calls him. So, you know, maybe we should do something about that at some point. We missed our opportunity this past November. Not that I'm not bitter about it or anything like that, of course. Now, Dan, being as slight as you are, I'd imagine the cold is an even larger threat to you. I have much more insulation.
Yeah. I'm like 133 pounds, confirmed.
Yes. So that means, folks, that I weigh about 80 more pounds than Daniel. That's like another large child.
Yeah, you know, a man baby, as they say.
No, not a man baby.
A man baby.
More hobbit-like.
Man child.
He lives in a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fights dragons. All the hobbit things, as the Gen Zers would say. Long story short, folks, 1 hour is now done. But guess what? Don't worry about it. We've got 2 hours total here. One more hour ahead. Our dose of dose, as our bilingual listeners would say, is just around the corner. We got to give you an update on the Somali fraud allegations out of Minnesota. Got plenty more that we have to touch on, so just don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more in a second.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back, old friends, new frenemies, and all who lie elsewhere in between on the spectrum that is life. This is the Matt Rooney Show. I am the aforementioned Matt Rooney coming to you with our 2 of 2 of this particular program here on 1210 WPHT. Remember, the Matt Rooney Show airs every Saturday night on 1210 from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, but you can listen anytime via Odyssey or wherever quality podcasts can be found. This is, in a bittersweet way, the last show of 2025. Another full year still lies ahead. Let me think about the math here for a second, producer Dan. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So this is going to be our 6th calendar year coming up of the Matt Rooney Show. Who ever thought it would survive this long?
Yeah, and I think I've been about half of those.
You started in 22, maybe?
Yeah.
And then you disappeared at the end of 23 or the beginning of 24?
November of 23, I think.
Yeah. So you went through most of 22, I think, then disappeared at the end of 23, and then you made your triumphant return fall of 24?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Which, that's what happens in any relationships, folks. Sometimes you break up, then you get back together, you're on again, you're off again. Right? We kind of have an on-again, off-again relationship.
Right now we're on. Yeah, right now it hasn't been off in a while, but right now we're on.
We are so on right now. We've never been more on.
Right, correct. Turned on as well. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know about all that. But if you feel that way, so long as you promise to keep it to yourself, then I don't have a problem with it, I guess.
Yeah.
Who am I to tell you how to feel?
I don't know. You tell me how to feel all the time.
That is true. I am quite bossy.
Yep.
But you're the same way.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to be like that, you know?
I guess so. What's your New Year's resolution, Dan, for 2026? Have you thought it up yet? Do you do New Year's resolutions?
Not really.
No?
Nah. Nah.
Are you not a fan of them, or is it simply a unthinking omission that you never bother to get around to it?
All the above. All the above. I think I think this year, starting January 1st, I want to try and do like 10 or 20 push-ups a day before bed.
You want to do 10 to 20 push-ups?
Yeah, a day. I kind of started it last year, but I kind of slacked off and I just forgot about it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But I think this year, starting January 1st, I want to start doing push-ups before bed.
Now, what brought this to the forefront of your wish list here for 2026?
I don't know.
Like, what do you want to be stronger? Do you want to look different?
All of the above.
Has Bella complained about your inability to pick her up and carry her across the threshold?
But I have, so it's like, I don't know. Kind of just want to see what happens, you know?
Interesting. All right. Well, producer Dan wants to get buff for the new year, folks. I wonder what yours is. You can go ahead and tweet him at me if you want. Matt Rooney NJ is my handle over on X. Mine is the same one I make almost every year. I need to be less fat. I'm getting a little too chunky around the midsection. It's what happens in this stage of life, but I don't like it. So I have to try to lose some of my poundage. I'm going to try walking more. I sit on my ass quite a bit, Daniel. I don't move a lot during the week, which is a problem. And not because I don't like to. It's just, you guys get it. You're busy. I'm in the car a lot for work. And you come home and you sit down and you eat and you're talking to your spouse. Just not a lot of opportunity for movement. Now, I don't know if you have that same problem with what you do, Daniel, because you're always kind of scurrying around when you're on the job at your primary employment, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm usually walking around and kind of doing all this kind of stuff, so.
Yeah. So it's not as big a deal for you.
Nah.
But that's my challenge. I need to move. I do have a standing desk.
Oh, that's good.
Which I need to use more often.
I was thinking about getting one of those, but it's just, again, not in the cards right now.
Not in the cards right now? Do you want me to get you one?
No.
I didn't get you anything for Christmas. I could get you a standing desk if you want it.
No, don't do that.
Why?
I don't know. I was working out logistics. My computer's on here, so then I got to see how the wire, do I have to do any cable management and all this kind of stuff? So
I don't know. You have to have the right kind of shoes, too.
Socks?
I don't know if the socks matter as much. It's all about the support. You got to have extra comfy footwear.
Well, this is for my house, my apartment. Why would I be wearing shoes in my apartment?
You never wear shoes at home?
Not really.
I think the idea is you need more support than your feet can allow when you're standing constantly.
I wouldn't be standing. You know what? I don't want a standing desk anymore.
No? That's it.
We decided. We don't want to do this.
I was trying to be generous.
We don't got to do this anymore.
All right, fine. Just spit on my generosity. Oh, that sounded real. Was that a real spit?
No.
Oh, that was pretty talented. Impressions. He can do all kinds of voices. He can do realistic spitting noises, folks. What can't this man do?
Salsa dance, math.
Math code. is not your strong suit.
No, there's a couple things I can't do.
You didn't have to give a list, but you're in touch with your inadequacies, and I guess there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you're working from home, which you do a lot, do you have enough windows?
Yeah.
All right. Well, apparently the Obama Library does not. The Obama Library, which is being built out in Illinois, folks, there's been a lot of discussion of this monstrosity. It is easily one of the ugliest buildings that has ever been created. Did you see this thing when I sent you the video, Dan, assuming you haven't seen it before?
I have not, no.
Oh, it is. It looks like the Hall of Doom from DC Comics, the villain headquarters. It's identical. It looks like a spaceship that crashed in a major city and got stuck upside down, futuristic looking with a little bit of Stalinistic architectural influence. Just, again, I don't know why a president of the United States would want this to be his monument, with essentially, for most presidents,
it's for Big Mike.
No, it's not for her.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. That's something else, man.
Yeah. Is that what you would want?
No.
Well, CBS News covered it over the course of the past couple days, because at first there was a lot of controversy with the residents who didn't necessarily want it in Chicago. Can't say I blame them now that I've seen it. But now it's being mocked, the Obama Presidential Center, forcing the Obama folks to speak to the press and defend the aesthetics of the future presidential center. This is cut 5.
OK, Kim Patterson of the Obama Presidential Center helped answer the question that everybody is asking. Where are the windows? There are not a lot of windows on the building, but that's intentional because sunlight is just not a friend to the artwork and the artifacts that are going inside of the building, Patterson said. But what's the deal with the building's shape? That also was intentional. The shape of the building was actually meant to mimic four hands coming together to show the importance of our collective action. So there you go.
Dan, you've now seen an image of this building. Do you see four hands coming together?
No, I don't. I really don't. I don't see anything. So
I tried. I tried to give it the benefit of the doubt and, you know, squint with one eye, cover the other, stand on one leg. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see four hands coming together. I see what looks like a rejected block of ugly marble that somebody carved some ledges into and put a couple windows at the top. I don't know. I don't know what I'm missing here.
You can maybe see like two hands, but not four.
Where are the two hands?
I don't know, like the two hands cupping the window. Like maybe I could see that. That's a stretch, but not four.
I guess. Now the lack of windows. What kind of priceless artwork are they putting in the Obama Center? Sculptures. I mean, again, what am I missing here?
There is it just a library?
I don't know, but there are plenty of libraries and museums that have
windows.
Ample windows. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking right here. The Portland Art Museum has a wall of windows. Looking right in on some really interesting looking, and I'm being generous here because postmodern art isn't really my thing, but I have a feeling it's expensive stuff. And they don't seem overly concerned. So, yeah, folks. Is it appropriate in a way? Sure, because the Obama years were a pretty ugly episode for the American people in almost every objective measure. So, yeah, I guess it kind of makes sense that Obama's presidential center would be correspondingly hideous. But, man, you know, don't gaslight me, folks. I mean, there's no hands holding this thing together. There's no reason why they can't have light and art at the same time. It's positively silly. But this is a positively silly president, and we're going to celebrate, I guess, a positively goofy presidency. So maybe there is some logic in having the building itself being correspondingly incomprehensible. Now, are you and Bella going to go visit when it finally opens, Dan?
Yeah, probably. I'll be in Chicago about Memorial Day, so maybe I'll take a trip out there and see what's going on.
Check it out for us. Do something on site.
Yeah, and maybe do like a live video about it.
It's supposed to open, this 225-foot granite tower, in June of 26.
Oh.
Just
not even open yet.
Just in time for the 250th birthday of the country. Nope.
I can pour concrete on my sidewalk and make something better than that.
You could. My children have brought home better art from school.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, you got to wait till June, but it'll be open just in time for our country's 250th birthday. So for anyone that wants to celebrate our nation by visiting the guy that constantly degraded it and talked about how our country was flawed and needed to be fundamentally transformed, you have something you can do this summer. You could take a road trip. Or you could just wait for Dan to eventually visit, and he'll describe it for you.
I can make like a 30-second video just telling you not to come here and what to expect.
I bet you that there's going to be a very expensive cafeteria. Hopefully Michelle Obama doesn't select the lunches. You remember what she did to school lunches?
Yeah, she took away all the good stuff.
Yeah, kids were getting, like, you know, tofu chicken nuggets refried. Yeah, no thank you. No thank you, folks. I'll tell you what is nutritious, the Matt Rooney Show here on 1210 WPHT. Let's take a timeout as we go chugging along here in our second hour. We come back, we do need to talk about some of the most recent dangerous rhetoric directed at ICE from America's lefty politicians. And of course, at the end of this hour, the final twit talk of 2025. You're not going to want to miss it here on the Matt Rooney Show.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
If you haven't seen it yet, the annual list is up over at SaveJersey.com. 26 people who should get lost in 2026. Our friend Dan Cerucci of DanCerucci.com every year posts a list of people that need to be watched for good or ill reasons, and then people that, in his opinion, we'd all be better off if they just took a walk and never came back. Head over and check it out if you haven't seen it yet. Lots of goodies on there. Some of them, I guess, you could debate, but most of them, I think, are pretty uncontroversial. Dan's girl Jasmine Crockett's on there. Andy Kim and Cory Booker, no objection from this Jersey guy. All of the Kennedys except RFK Jr. Dan said if there is anything more unpleasant or dumber or more childish than a family feud played out in public, shut up and leave Bobby alone. He's had more success than all of you combined. You can't hard argue with that, right? The Kennedys are all members of the Lucky Sperm Club. Very few of them have actually done anything. They just had famous ancestors, right? And they're continuing to grift off of their family legacy. Newsom's on here. Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson are on here, which, I don't know, maybe this is just me being a typical man, Dan, but I really can't say I blame Bill Belichick.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, at his age, right? It's, I mean, not like he's still married.
He can still get it up at his age. That's great for him.
Well, I mean, forget about the mechanics of it, right? I mean, he hit it out of the park. She's cute.
Yeah.
So I get it. She gives Yoko Ono vibes.
I mean, she might be a little bit of a bitch, but that's okay.
What?
I don't know. That's what she gives off.
Oh, Daniel, you sexist pig. You talk down every strong woman, don't you?
If you're on this list, then yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell's on the list. Kathy Hochul, Gretchen Whitmer, Mark
Rihanna
Kelly.
And every other famous person with one name.
Yeah, Dan's going a little broad on that one. Although I have to say, most people that do that are annoying. Although a couple of them I haven't heard from in a long time. Like, he's got Sinbad and Raffi on there. Yeah, has anybody heard from Sinbad or Raffi in the past 15 years?
I haven't heard anything from Ludacris in a while.
The last mention of Sinbad that I can think of is every year around this time my kids...
Jingle All the Way?
...like to watch Jingle All the Way.
Fantastic movie.
It's a fantastic movie. Sinbad does a great job in it.
Yeah, he does.
Amy Schumer's on here. Dan says, so you lost a lot of weight, but you still have a potty mouth and you're still unfunny. Yeah.
A lot of surprising ones on here, to be honest.
Like who?
I don't know if surprising is the right word, but like Candace Owens.
Well, that's very controversial, right? It seems like everyone on the right side of the aisle either loves her or hates her.
Yeah.
Right? And some of the comments she's made that have been perceived as anti-Semitic. She's lost a lot of followers, but then there's also some people that have gravitated towards her as well. So yeah. Dan is not in the Candace Owen camp. Tucker's on here as well.
Another one, the thing is 26 people who should get lost, and he has Labubu on here. Labubu's not a person.
Labubu is not a person, but as we've already established on this episode, they're creepy as hell.
I think that their time is up. I'm going to be real with you. So I think that one is kind of like a... I don't know about that one. I think their time's up. Like, yeah, they're still, like, you can still get them and people still like them, but I don't think, like, they were Like, they're still popular, but I think their fame is up, essentially.
So being a guy in their 40s who only found out about it because all the kids in my family got them this year, I didn't even know their time had started. So have they been popular for a while?
It was like a, I would say like end of summer, maybe like this summer.
That's not much of a shelf life.
No, not really. Like it was, they started later on in the year. But I don't think that their fame is going to continue on into 2026.
Well, I can't say that I'd be heartbroken if my kids kind of forget about them and then I can make them, you know, disappear to the trash can. But one thing that does stand the test of time is Dan's list, folks. So head over to SaveJersey.com or Dan's home at DanSarucci.com and check it out. Other names on here, Jeff Bezos and his wife, Ilhan Omar, Ariana Grande, Mikey Sherrill, Katie Porter. Again, most of the list kind of inarguable, but just enough on there that's controversial to keep you clicking, which is the mark of any good story, is it not? Now, I mentioned a moment ago on the program, or a few moments ago, about how the murder rate is dropping nationally. There's some good crime stats that are now percolating, and some of it, at least, can be attributed to President Trump's efforts to rid our nation of illegal immigrants, some of whom might be relatively harmless, right? At least in a criminal justice sense, but some of whom have staggering rap sheets. We've covered some of them here on the program. I talk about it a lot over on SaveJersey.com. In my home state of New Jersey, we've had convicted rapists. They were just kind of floating around New Jersey cities until they were picked up by ICE. They were allowed in by the Biden administration. And no one was willing to do anything about it until Donald Trump retook the lanes. That hasn't stopped Democrats from continuing with their increasingly concerning rhetoric about ICE and ICE agents specifically. The governor of Illinois is not ruling out prosecuting ICE agents, which, I mean, Daniel, if you want to talk about a way to start a civil war, start prosecuting federal agents in the conduct of their duties. I don't know how the hell that ends well, right? Not saying I want it, obviously. Don't jump down my throat. I'm just saying that'd be another step on the road to this country having a whole lot of trouble holding itself together. Then there's Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, who is a well-known idiot who, I mean, look, you see where he's mayor of, right? It's kind of ground zero of the problem right now. He has apparently gone on record warning that ICE operations in his city could lead to the demise of ICE agents. Yes, you heard that correctly. This is cut number uno on the sheet, Daniel.
I am increasingly concerned because of the chaos that is being caused by these ICE agents that somebody is going to get seriously injured or killed. Somebody is going to get seriously injured or killed. And whether that is an ICE agent or a community member, we all know the tinderbox that could explode because of it. We all know that the federal government is looking for reasons to deploy more and more people to Minneapolis and blue cities around the country. We all know that we cannot afford to lose a single Minneapolis resident because they showed up and decided to protect their neighbors, because they showed up and decided to express their constitutional right to free speech. And so that concern is deep. It is held, by the way, not just by me and our residents and the people who are standing up behind me. The concern about getting somebody killed is also held by our police officers.
So let's walk through this for a moment here, right? He's warning that there's allegedly a tinderbox that is being created by the Trump administration's deportation policies, and that if we're not careful, citizens or ICE agents could end up dead. Now, I'm not aware of, and maybe I missed it, many instances of ICE agents using lethal force or even likely to cause serious injury force in the conduct of their duties. I guess what he's talking about here, Dan, is the likelihood that somebody's going to start shooting at or try to kill an ICE agent, which we know ICE agents have been injured. There's been some of that in the news, right? And there is concern that it could get worse, right? Because of the rhetoric. Because of the rhetoric from elected leaders, high elected officials, like the mayor of a major American city. It's so reckless. And I know that word gets overused to the point where it almost doesn't have any meaning for some of you. But just think about this for a second, right? Think about a mayor of a major United States city saying, you know what, if the federal government tries to come in here and enforce federal law, enforce the Constitution, right, protect our citizens, ugh, someone might get killed. Imagine in every other context. Well, if the FBI comes in here, I don't know what's going to happen. If the DEA comes in, I don't know what's going to happen. It can't be considered as anything other than what it is. It's obviously a threat. This mayor is egging on people that want to do harm to agents of the federal government that are simply trying to do their job. Gross is not strong enough of a word. Disgusting is not strong enough of a word. And it's a big part of the reason why our nation, while pretty resilient coming up on its 250th birthday, is in many ways fraying at the edges because of crazy rhetoric like this. And again, let's consider what we're talking about here. What are these ICE agents doing that's so awful? They're going in and removing people that shouldn't be here, right? We're not talking about ICE walking into random homes and quartering ICE agents among the population. There have not been widespread reports of mass detentions of U.S. citizens. Yes, whenever you're engaged in an operation this large, occasionally you're going to make a mistake. But believe me, if it was happening all the time, you don't think you would have heard about it by now? So these mayors and these governors are, and I am using my words carefully here, but I'm using them exactly, are willing to push this country to the brink of dissolution over federal agents deporting people that have violated federal immigration law. How does anyone think that that's anything less than insane? Now, I have to talk about a lot of crazy crap on here, but this one I have a tremendous amount of trouble wrapping my mind around, Daniel. It is brutal. It's positively brutal. And it's dangerous. And it needs to stop. But it's not going to stop until people want it to stop. Until the citizens of these states and these cities, these sanctuary jurisdictions that are engaged in this outrageous behavior say, you know what? I believe what I believe, but I'm not willing to go down this road. I'm not willing to destroy my country because the left only wins elections when it does the only thing that it does well, which is create more victim classes that it could then use to its political benefit. Look, I don't want to end 2025 on a negative note, folks, but 2025, the election results only embolden these people. Our only hope is that the economy continues to improve and that President Trump, as he hits the campaign trail around the country, reminds people why they got behind him in 2024. Because, again, regardless of how you feel about the president personally, whether you agree with all of his choices, I mean, who agrees with anyone all of the time? The other option as we enter 2026 is the current Democrat Party, which does not have a Jack Kennedy or a Truman to be found anywhere in its ranks. It's Jacob Frey. It's Ilhan Omar. It's Tim Walz. It's Kamala Harris. That's the Democrat Party as 2026 dawns. Is that a party full of responsible people that you can trust to run your country? I don't think so. Food for thought as we enter another but our final break of this program here on 1210 WPHT. The Matt Rooney Show will be back in a second. Don't move a muscle. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
By the way, we were just talking about your girl Ilhan Omar, Daniel, in the last segment. Apparently,
why did she become my girl?
Everybody that's crazy is your girl.
What?
That's just how I roll.
What?
What do you mean, what?
That's not how this works.
It's not. It is how it works. It's my show.
That's not how this works.
All right. Well, this.
All right. Continue.
Then this won't bother you then. Apparently, Republicans are actively considering, that's according to Randy Fine, congressman from Florida, moving forward with a vote to expel Ilhan Omar from Congress. Apparently, Fine referenced a fundraising email from Omar's campaign in which it suggested that he should be kicked out of Congress for saying Muslims should be, quote, destroyed, end quote. So Omar making lots of friends up there on Capitol Hill, but of course she'll try to be a victim because that's what Democrats do. That's one of the things we're talking about this hour. Somebody else who is claiming victimhood status is no stranger to it. The one, the only, Kamala Harris, who has passed on running for California governor, widely believed to be considering another run for the presidency. She says that any criticism of her laugh is sexist. Did you know that, Daniel? Did you know we were being sexist for making fun of her laugh? That's what she told podcasters. I never heard of this program, Rich Little Broke Girls. I think you used to be the producer for that one, if memory serves. She apparently was asked about it, and Harris responded by asking women to be loud and proud. I don't aspire to be humble. Humility, yes, is very important. It's a very dated perspective on who women should be to say women should be humble, women should be quiet, women should laugh quietly. I don't think anybody said she couldn't laugh loudly, just not laugh like a suicidal maniac.
Have you seen the meme where Justin Bieber's getting like an interview and he's like, I love your laugh? That's basically what this is. If I can find it, let me see if I can pull
Bieber
it up
said
here real
this
quick.
Bieber said this to Harris?
No. He just, let me see. Hold on. I think I have a video here. I'll play it here. All right. So Justin Bieber, when he was like first starting out, I guess, did a like an interview or whatever, and the interviewer had a weird laugh, and Justin Bieber was like, I love your laugh. And that's basically what everyone's doing with Kamala Harris. I have the clip if you want to hear it.
Biebs.
Shorter.
Okay. Like, because Selena Gomez said that she wants to cut your hair.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that, but.
What do you think
of that? Sounds like something she'd say. I like that laugh.
There you go.
Wait, he was making fun of that woman in real time?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do you need it one more time?
I do need that one more time.
What do you think of
that? Sounds like something she'd say. I like that laugh.
That's what everyone's doing with Kamala Harris.
That's awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. She sounds like a mental patient when she laughs, though. It's not because she's loud. Nobody gives a damn that she's loud. It's bizarre, and it's here's the key. She sounds like a nut job because it's feigned. It's fake.
There you go.
Here's right? It's not a real laugh.
Here's something just for
you. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
Hello.
I want to talk to you. I can first.
There you go.
Kamala went a step further this podcast, Dan. Choose to be with someone who allows you to laugh at yourself and them. Choose to be with someone who you know you like, going to the grocery store together, taking a walk together. That's right, dating advice from Kamala Harris. Now, keep in mind, in this particular instance, you are taking dating advice from not only someone who has the craziest laugh on the planet, but also from someone who is married to a guy, Doug Emhoff, who publicly admitted to having an affair with a nanny. During his first marriage, of course. He would never cheat on Kamala Harris, right? Who would? So consider the source.
So now, actually, I don't know if you knew this, but she was actually in a movie.
The nanny?
No, Kamala Harris. She was in a movie.
No, I didn't know that.
Exclusive audio once again.
I'm always impressed when you come up with this stuff.
But if you would like to hear her little part in the movie, here you go. There you go.
You know, I always forget, as much as she isn't really an accomplished politician or policy mind, right? Wasn't that good on the campaign trail? Kamala Harris really was excellent in the Batman franchise. Yeah, she really was. Her performance in Dark Knight, I'm shocked she never got an Oscar for it.
The interrogation scene is just unlike anything else.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Does that make us sexist as we're talking about it?
Yeah, by her yardstick, yeah.
Yeah, well.
The shoe fits, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's convince everyone that we're deranged, Dan, by offering up the final segment of the year for the Matt Rooney Show, and it's one that's familiar to our regular listeners. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll ask yourself why, not only why Dan's playing some of this stuff, but why your humble host allows it. Remind us all what it's called, Daniel.
Hey, guys, gather round. Gather round.
It's Twit Talk time.
Oh, yes, it is. It's the segment where Dan rounds up some of the craziest clips from Twitter and TikTok and tries his best to make me uncomfortable and in so doing entertain all of you. And he does it for pennies on the dollar, folks. Dan, tell us what you found today.
We're going to start with a doozy.
Oh, boy.
Amelia right Earhart apparently has been found.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is big news.
It's huge news, actually. But you might think what she's doing, you know, you might think, like, what is she doing? It's going to be unexpected. But see if you can keep up.
And, well, it's impressive because she would also be like 120 years old or something.
Right, that's what you would think.
Yes,
but
yes.
The people who claim they found her are saying that she's doing something else.
Okay.
Why did you make Amelia Earhart disappear? So, Amelia Earhart, she didn't technically disappear. She fell in love with an alien.
Mm-hmm.
One time, her flight coordinates were so jacked up, they were so wrong, that instead of her going to Arizona, she went to
Area 51.
She went to Area 51. And at that point, it was a good-looking alien.
He was handsome.
He was 50 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
He had three legs, and but we found out what the third leg was.
The third leg.
If you know what I mean. If you know what I mean. So she took off with him, never to be seen again.
Never to be. That third leg. She couldn't resist it.
She couldn't resist it, guys. So she's alive and well because where he took her to, once they left, they eloped in Area 51. They eloped in Area 51, and he took her back to Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
So every time we go to Saturn, we check on her. At Saturn, you don't age.
You don't age. She's doing wonderful.
Wonderful. Last I heard, they were on their 21st child, and they have no twins. So she's don't feel for her. Don't cry
she's
for her.
She's free. She found a path that God laid for her.
She's free.
Task left said, undone must stay that way. Don't grieve for her.
Don't grieve for her.
She's free. She's free, y'all.
Yep.
Y'all put she's free in the comments.
She's free.
She's free.
Amelia Earhart is free,
she's
guys.
She's free.
And I hope y'all pass that out so that people can know because they ask us about Amelia Earhart a lot. But now y'all know she's free and she's with the three-legged alien, if you know what I mean.
So she fell in love with a three-legged alien, if you know what I mean, and has 21 kids.
Yeah. I mean, what I got from that is that she fell in love with a well-hung alien. And is now having alien babies somewhere, right? Am I following this correctly?
Yep. She's free in the chat. She's free in the chat.
All right. Well, look, good on you, Amelia.
Yeah.
Love is love, I've been told. Maybe that explains how she made it to 128.
Who knows? Maybe.
Yeah.
Are you Do you know people who have the antlers on the cars?
I mean, I don't know them. I've seen it, though. Okay. And sometimes there's a little red Rudolph nose.
Yeah, well, this girl claims that she thinks that she knows that it's not a reindeer.
To those of you that drive with the antlers on your car, I just want you to know that I know it's a car and it's not a reindeer.
Ooh, not, can't get anything past her.
Yeah, it's a car, not a reindeer, according to her. Phew.
I'll tell you what, she should take over for Robert Stack on Unsolved Mysteries.
We talked about it earlier, but cuffing season is upon us.
It is.
Our favorite TikToker has something to say about that.
Oh, no.
They call it cuffing season for a reason. I'm going to put a lock on those.
Oh, man. If I was a younger, single, unattached Matt Rooney, I don't think you could pay me enough money to be handcuffed to her during the course of the winter.
I think you would be.
Is it sexist for me to make fun of her laugh? Or whatever the hell that guttural yell is that she does?
No.
If it's not a laugh, then what is it? Is it a mating call?
A yodel?
Maybe it's a noise you make when you see an alien's third leg.
Could be a mating call.
Could be.
Do you like going to the cinema?
If it's a nice one.
Okay.
I'm a little snobby given how much they cost.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be in, like, crappy old seats with, you know, crammed on top of other people.
And I'm paying that kind of money. You got to go to the hometown, like, small mom-and-pop theaters.
That were, like, I like the AMC theaters that have the leather chairs that recline.
Yeah. This person loves going to the cinema. And if you want to find out how much, this is how much.
I love going to the cinema. I f***ing love the pictures. I love getting my overpriced nachos. 2 sauces, 1 cheese sauce. I f***ing love it. In my blue Tango Ice Blast. I will be sat in a cinema. I love going to the cinema with my pals. And I love going to the cinema by myself because I love cinema.
Hey, you know what, Dan? I think she likes going to the movie theater.
I think she does as well.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Another exclusive audio of Donald Trump. He was asked if young Americans will ever be able to afford a home. Right.
Well, it's a big issue.
Yeah, and this is what he said.
Mr. President, young people believe that they will never own a house. How are you going to address this issue?
Look, we have to bomb Venezuela.
Well, look, I mean, who would want to live in Venezuela, right? I don't know why you think that's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. True. True.
I have to explain everything to you.
No, I got it. Don't worry. I was picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah.
As a divorce lawyer, I'm sure you've seen it all, but have you heard of modern dating questions?
Modern dating questions?
This girl went on...
Are you saying, do I know what they're like, or is there a specific website or something called...
No, I'm saying, do you know what people ask these days in modern dating?
Oh, I would have no damn clue.
Well, here's like 16 of them.
Here's a list of all of the questions that I'm going to be asking my future partner before I get into a relationship with them. Number 1, what is your stance on abortion? Number 2, what is your relationship with your mom like? Number 3, do you watch porn? What kind of porn do you watch? Would you consider quitting for me? Number 4, have you ever had an authentically racist thought? Number 5, when is the last time that you cried and why? Number 6, did you vote? Who did you vote for? Number 7, do you have any friends that are in frats? Number 8, what would you do if I just started clawing my skin off in front of you? Would you comfort me? Would you still call me pretty? Would you still like me? Number 9, tell me about your worst first date story. Number 10, do you pee standing up or sitting down? Number 11, do you have any allegations? Be honest. Tell me. Number 12, are you going to put any effort into my birthday? Because that is a holiday, and it should be celebrated. And you shouldn't be waiting until last minute. Number 13, be honest, are you going to remember our anniversary, or is it going to be up to me to plan everything every single time? Number 14, how good is your hygiene? Please tell me that you have some form of routine, even a little bit. Number 15, are you going to be like, yay, I bagged a baddie, and then like a month into our relationship, try to change every single thing about me? I hate the way that you dress. I hate that you have tattoos. Would you ever consider getting them removed? Like, you don't look classy. What? Number 16, do you have any actual trauma, or is it just like, one time my goldfish died? Or like, Number 17, have you ever punched a hole in the wall? I have, but like, you shouldn't.
She sounds like a treat.
Right? Right?
Guys, if your only way to get away from that girl is to jump out of a 15-story window, you got to take your chances. Run far and fast.
Also, exclusive audio of what your wife said to you when you guys were starting to date.
Oh, you got this?
Yeah. Yeah. You ready?
I guess so.
Are you a parking ticket because you have because you wrote fines? Or you have fines? Or are you park?
Not the greatest execution.
No, not at all. No.
Can we go in reverse here for just a second?
Yeah.
The girl that's got you know, all the preconditions.
Yeah.
That were inferred by her questions.
Yeah.
Baddie in Gen Z speak is someone that's hot, right? Attractive.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Is she a baddie in your estimation?
She was okay.
So she was mid.
To me, yeah.
That's a lot of demands to be making when you're not that good looking, I'm just saying.
Right. And to top off our Twit Talk of the year, our fond Twit Talk of the year.
No other way to end.
We go out with the one and only Theovon.
Here's one right here, a call that came in.
Hi, Theo. It's Anna. I'm just calling because, you know, the holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving, Christmas, for all who celebrate. And anyways, I hate my family.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that is... That's a thing.
I hate saying it out loud, but, and I don't know if you've ever had problems with your family, but it just sucks.
Well, Anna, thanks for calling in and just letting us know. Sometimes it is, you have to say something, you know? Sometimes you have to say something. Sometimes you have to say stuff. I hate my family. I don't give a shit. I think somebody's a wizard. F*** you, piece of shit. Those are five things I'd have said that were inside of me. Sometimes if you do that, you rattle off five things, and you just make it every other second you put a finger up and you have to say them no matter what. You know?
Wise words, Theovon.
Well, if we only learn one thing in 2025, may it be that.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, what a way to go out, folks. It's been a hell of a year. I'm glad you spent as much time with us as you have. When you think about how many hours we're on cumulatively, that's a lot of time that we've spent together here on the airwaves or over on the interwebs, right? Laughing, learning, wondering, and guessing Dan's body weight, which you did tell us last week and repeated again, 133 pounds. That's soaking wet. Yep. And through it all, right, I hope we at the very least help keep each other sane, which in these crazy times of ours is about all you can truly aim for. But I am appreciative of you as 2025 ends, and I can't wait to spend more time with you in 2026. I know I speak for producer Dan when I say that. So for now, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for this greatest nation in God's creation. It's worth it. Happy New Year.